Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Working double duty today, but that's all right. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. We're going to get right into the message, but I do, I thank God for the doors that are opening. I always look around our church and I get amazed at what God allows us to do, no matter how many people are sitting in this room every Sunday. When I looked at the lineup of churches that were coming to Facebook for this event, I realized it was nothing but God that opened the door for our little old church to be able to go and worship there. And it's not just that. I think Bethel's on the list of churches that are going to be leading worship. I think it's going to be an amazing experience. But sometimes, you know, the Bible says God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, which means you'll look at a church like this and say, I have no idea how you would have an opportunity to go to an experience or thing like that. But it's only God that opened a door. And I believe he opened that door because we have the right heart to be able to usher in the Spirit of God and to bring change and transformation there. And then a couple weeks later, November 2nd, what's happening is a friend of mine pastors Church on the Hill. And Church on the Hill is a good-sized church. This is not a small church. And they called us and they said, you know, Pastor Shana, we know you guys know how to enter into worship. And we need our women to learn how to worship. So can you bring your worship team over and just do what y'all do and get us in worship? And I was like, say what now? They have a full-time paid worship pastor. They got musicians. They've got all kinds of singers. But they called us because they need to enter into worship. See, here's the reason that I'm focusing on this. Sometimes you look and you think that, you know, what you see means you're not mighty, you're not powerful because you don't see a lot of people. But you don't know what God does in the spiritual realm. You don't have to have thousands and thousands of people to make an impact in this community. You just need one person with a heart for God who's willing to say, I'm going to let my pebble get thrown in the water and let that ripple take its effect wherever it's going to go. But I'm not going to sit back and not throw this pebble in the water because I'm scared or because I'm not small enough or because the rock ain't big or because I don't have this or because I don't have that. No, God promised me that I'm supposed to impact this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to do everything I can right where I am with what I have to do what God has called us to do so we can impact the people of this community. So don't ever think when you come in this church on Sunday morning, first of all, this ain't it. In the name of Jesus, we are speaking and declaring that this church is in a season of multiplication. This church is in a season of bearing fruit. We are not a dead church. We are a church filled with the Spirit of God. We are a church that's alive. We are a church that's doing mighty works for Jesus Christ. We are a church that's taking on things and slaying giants in our community. We are a church that's transforming lives. We are a church that's bringing prosperity to this area. I'm telling you, God is doing a work in the life of this church, and I am excited, and I will not let the enemy get any of us down, but I declare that God's got some big stuff on the horizon for us. Come on, can you all just begin to give God a little bit of praise for what he's doing in the life of this church? We praise you, God. We give you glory. We give you honor. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There's nobody else like you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I was trying not to preach yet, but let me just go ahead and hang in there for just a second. And let me say, this is so important for everybody that's here. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, verse 20. We're going to skip the affirmations and everything. I'm just going to get into it today. Is that all right? This is why this is so important, because God is not done with the east side of San Jose. There is a passage in the Bible where Nazareth was like the poor, the jacked up, the messed up community. And the people said, can anything good come from Nazareth? And people have said for so long, can anything good come out of the east side of San Jose? Can there be a church? Can there be anything that will raise up, that will transform and change this neighborhood? We have been planted in this community for almost 20 years. And let me tell you, the community has been transforming and the community has been changing. 300 new homes are being built that are $1.2 million plus homes. You can't tell me that God isn't transforming the community. But I believe that God is raising us up for such a time as this. There are people that are going to be moving in those 300 homes that need to hear about Jesus. There are people that are moving in those homes, and they're not the impoverished. They're not the poor, and they're not the broken. And so they don't think they need Jesus. But what they need is somebody to come in and tell them that God loves you. God cares for you. He's not done with you. God's got a purpose way bigger than a job, way bigger than a house, way bigger than a car. God's got a kingdom-building purpose. And let me tell you, he parked us over here 2 years ago so we could get ready for the harvest that's about to come. I'm coming to tell you, our harvest is here. This is a season of multiplication, and we're going to do everything God told us to do so that we can have everything God told us to have. So am I a little bit excited? You better believe it. And here's why. Mark chapter 4, verse 20. This is a continuation of last week's message. Last week, I talked to you about how to get a harvest. Because I think about like this. If you have a farmer, you know, somebody who knows how to bear fruit and get crops, they know what's necessary to produce a harvest. And here's the catch with that. The catch with it is, it's all about process. You can't take a farmer and tell him, don't drop no seed in the ground and wait for the harvest. Ain't no seed gonna come. You can't take a farmer and tell him, put the seed in the ground, but don't till the soil. Because if you don't till the soil, no harvest will come. You can't tell a farmer, drop seed in the ground, till the soil, but don't water it, and you're gonna see a harvest. There is a process for getting harvest. And a lot of people don't like to understand this, but God works through systems, but he also will blow your system out the water. All right? So I don't want you, but what most of us want is for God to blow the system out of the water so we don't have to follow the process. But I'm going to show you today that if you follow God's process, you will reap a harvest in your life. What does a harvest look like? A harvest looks like every promise that God has given you coming to pass. A harvest looks like your loved one coming to Jesus. A harvest looks like your business is starting to flourish. A harvest looks like you ain't stressed out financially no more. A harvest looks like you got healing in your body in those places where you had pain. A harvest looks like that promise of the future that God has for you is coming to pass. But there is a process to get the harvest. Stop sitting back and wishing for God to do something and follow the harvest. Follow the process and you'll get the harvest. So Mark chapter 4 verse 20. I'm trying to calm down, but something about playing for the worship team be messing me up. Mark chapter 4 verse 20, and I've been sitting in this for the last 3 weeks and it has changed my life. This is one of those moments, and it's like the Bible says that when you get a word that illuminates your heart, that the enemy will come right in and start messing with you and attacking you. And I always know when I get a life-changing word because everything starts happening. I mean, in the last 2 weeks, I've been through all kind of, I'll never have any physical pain. I never have physical pain, ever. Like, I just never have physical pain because God's so good, I walk in divine health, and I'm like, I'm in divine health. Even when I was eating bad, I didn't have physical pain because I was in divine health. But all of a sudden, after getting this word, it was like my hips started hurting, my stomach started hurting, my back started hurting, my knees started hurting. I was like, am I just old? Or is just? And the Lord was like, wait. You're getting attacked because of the word that I gave. And I came to Bible study, and this is why I love coming to Bible study, because it's not just about the word, it's about the comfort and the relationship of people. And Mark and Jewel prayed for me. Mark said, I've been taking that prayer, that healing class, and I got healing hands. Let's go, Pastor. I said, all right, and Mark started praying, and he spoke a word over me, and my stomach immediately, the pain ceased in the stomach, and I was praising God for that, but then the Lord showed me that this was an attack from the enemy, and I said, okay, I got it, God, let's go, but the attack was for this word. That's how powerful this word is. So here's the word. This is the parable of the sowers. Jesus talked about four types of soil. The first soil he talked about was this stony ground or this rocky ground. And he says, the wayside, actually. He said, it's like the walkway. He says, Satan will come and snatch the word. And then he talks about stony ground where the word gets planted, but then it has no root. And then trials and tribulation comes and it blows. And then he talked about thorny ground where people hear the word. It takes root for a little bit, but the deceitfulness of riches and desires for other things choke out the word. And so the first three grounds never produced fruit. But this fourth ground, Jesus said, but these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. And I said, oh my gosh, there is a three-step process for releasing fruit right here in Scripture. And I kept always talking about good ground. Good ground's my heart. Good ground's my heart. I got to make sure my heart's right. I got to make sure my heart's right. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, here's what makes good ground. You hear the word, number one. You accept it, number two. And then because you have heard it and accepted, fruit starts to come out of you. This is how you start bearing fruit. And then, depending on your level of how you hear it, accept it, and bear it, it will either produce 30, 60, or 100-fold. I was like, God, I'm good with 30. I like 60, but I gotta have 100. I want to get the maximum return on the investment you've placed in my, I don't know nobody that's like, we happy if we invest $10 and we get $3 back. We like, yeah. We love it if we get $6 back. But come on, if I invest 10 and you double my money and I get 10 back, I'm like, come on, Jesus, this is the best investment I ever had. I want a 100-fold blessing on everything that we do in the life of this church. And so I said, God, show me what this means. And last week I started talking to you about those who hear the word. And I thought, you know, what's interesting is how much we have the word going in this church. Because we want you to hear the word. Every Sunday morning, look, we're not a church that teaches principles and processes, not to the point of just like worldly principles and processes. We teach godly principles. We teach the word of God. We show you what God said. This is the reason why we have like 15, 20 scriptures on the screen. Because I'm going to prove to you that God is saying what he's saying. Not only that, Wednesdays you got the word of God. All throughout the week, I've been teaching on Tuesdays, we got the word. I've taught Tuesday. Mondays, we're in a school. We're at Sheboia. We teaching the word of God. Tuesdays, we have OSL going. We teaching the word of God. Wednesdays, we got Bible study. We teaching the word of God. Thursdays, we at Holyoke. We teaching the word of God. And we got worship rehearsal. Friday, oh my God, we at Quimby Middle School. We teaching the word of God. And we got classes like prophecy happening and youth group happening. Then Saturday, we got women's ministries happening where we teaching the word. And we got healing happening where we teaching God. And Sunday, we teach. Look, you ain't got enough. You ain't got no problem with hearing the word up in this church. The word is being sown over and over and over again, not to mention how we encourage people to read their Bibles every day. So last week I talked to you about hearing the word and getting alone so you can hear the word and abiding with God. And if you do that, how you'll bear much fruit. I talked to you about that. And I slightly ran over the second most important words in that formula, which is the second part, accept it. Because God kept telling me there's a lot of people who hear it, but they don't accept it. As a matter of fact, if you look at the soil in ground 1, 2, and 3, they all heard the word at some point because that's the word, that's the soil, it's the seed. You know, on the wayside, they heard it. You know, people who come to church and they hear it, but they just kind of like, okay, thank you, Jesus, and move on. Some of them hear it and they like, okay, I listen to it even in my car. Sometimes I put on a podcast, they hear it a little bit more. But it is not about hearing alone that produces fruit. You're not going to get your harvest if all you do is hear God's word. Where the harvest comes is in step 2, which is in accepting the word. And I gave an illustration last week about a woman getting ready to have a baby. And they take them pregnancy tests. First of all, them can be the scariest test of your life, depending on your situation, or the best, depending on your situation. For some of us, it was like, Jesus, please don't let another line be there. Oh, God, no. I don't want no more. I'm done. And for some of us, it's like, God, please let there be a line there because everything in my life will change. But either way it goes, whether there is a line that shows up on that pregnancy test, if the line pops up, in that moment you see that line that says you're pregnant, everything shifts. Everything in your life for the next 20 years, rest of your, no, it don't never stop. It's all different. It's all changed. So you can hear that. And some of us, because we didn't want that, we tried to act like, oh, no. I told you last week, my husband, when I took him the first pregnancy test, we'd been married for 2 years. I took him the first test. I said, this thing said we having a baby. that ain't right. Go get another test. Went back across the street to the store, got it, came back, took another one. He said, that ain't right. You better go to Kaiser. I was like, I'm pretty sure two of them can't be wrong. It say 99.9%. He was like, it's that 0.1 that I'm believing for. And I went to Kaiser, and Kaiser said, you having a baby. And I said, I think this is it. And we both cried because didn't know, neither one of us know anything about babies. But here's the thing. You can hear a word and reject it, but it don't mean that the word still ain't true. You can hear a word and disqualify why you're not good enough or why it won't happen to you or how come this ain't going to really come to pass or I don't know about this God, but it don't mean that God's word still ain't true. But if you're going to get a harvest off that word, to accept the word, there are some things you must do. And this is where I want to pick it up this week, because it is in the accepting of the word that changes everything. The first thing you got to do if you're going to accept the word that God's given to you is you have to learn how to pray God's word. Accepting God's word means you have to pray his word. When God speaks to us, we have to carry what God has said to us back to him in prayer. Why? Because that word must become your fuel for your prayer life. See, I think the reason why many of us are not fruitful with the seed that God's given us and the reason we're not seeing 30, 60, 100-fold is because we don't pray about what God has said to us. We pray over stuff, but we don't pray what God said. In other words, I'm going to tell you something like this. We will get a word that God is going to do something miraculous in our children. God's given me words about my children and what God's going to do and what he's going to provide for them. And you know what? I will come back and I will pray over my children and say, okay, God, look, they're going through this. Help them, Jesus. Lord, help them. And God's like, that's not praying my word in the situation. See, if I pray God's words in the situation, I say, Lord, your word says that all my children are trained by the Lord and great shall be their peace. Lord, your word says that that kings and nations shall come from me. I have leaders, Father God, coming out of me. I declare my children are not followers. They are leaders. Look, I start praying and speaking over them that my children are fearfully and wonderfully made. I know that your works are wonderful. All their days have been ordained for them before one of them came to be. I declare over them that no evil shall ever befall them, nor shall any plague come near their dwelling, for you will give your angels charge over them to keep them in all their ways. I declare that there's no lack on my children in the name of. See, when you start praying like that, all something starts shouting. Your spirit started just like, yeah, hey, why? Because God's word is way more powerful than your prayers of whining and, oh, please, Jesus. God is like, why do you keep begging me to do what I've already promised you I'm going to do? I already told you I'm going to bless your children. I already told you I got a promise for your children. I already told you they're going to be prosperous and successful. Then why are you sitting here acting like I never said a word to you? See, if I know I'm pregnant, then I walk around and I tell people, we're going to have a baby. We're going to have a baby. We're going to have a baby. But when God gives you a word and you get pregnant with something, why aren't we walking around like, we going to get out of this situation. We going to have 100 plus people in this church. Why aren't we walking around talking about, we going to be blessed financially. We going to see some scholarships up in this house. Mama, look, you ain't going to school with that boy. You going to school debt free in the name of Jesus. Why don't we walking around and speak things like that? Why? Because we aren't praying that. We are praying exactly our feelings and what we think. And we're wondering why God is like, because you know what? He's like, I'm not sure if you really have accepted this word yet. Because if you accepted it, you just start praying it like it's done. I want to start challenging you. How much are you praying back the word that God has promised you? Or are you spending time in prayer trying to get God to keep answering the same prayer he already said yes to? This is why keeping a journal is the most important thing you can do as a believer. Because Satan wants to snatch every word that God has given you. Do you know how you be in church and you be like, oh, that's a word from Jesus. But then you don't write it down. And then you walk out and you turn on, like I had on KBLX this morning because they had gospel, but then, you know, they start playing that old school stuff. And then I get in the car and be like, hey, Hey. Hey, then I get home and I'm like, I gotta eat. Then I pop on the TV because baseball, you know, it's October. Sister gotta watch her baseball. Cardinals. Forget the Yanks, Cardinals. Go Cards, go. And then by about 5 o'clock, I done took a nap, snoring. Well, I don't snore no more, but I don't think I do. I don't know. I sleep by myself. Watch this. And then I go, somebody said, how was church? He said, man, it was good. What was it about? I don't know, but God spoke to me. What'd he say? He said something. It was good, though. You might want to check the podcast. That's what we tell people. You should listen to the podcast. No, maybe you ought to listen again. But this is the reason why I encourage people. Who has an OSL right here? Lift up. Stephen, you've been in OSL for a long time. You know, a few years since you took it, and you're still carrying your journal. You know why? Because God's still speaking. And you keep your journals. So, you know, this is the reason why I love OSL, because the point of Operation Solid Lives is to teach you the disciplines of walking in your relationship with God. And if you are here and you feel like, I don't read my Bible like I used to, I don't journal like I used to, I don't pray like I used to, could it be that's the reason why you're not getting the fruit like you were doing when you was in OSL? Everybody that takes OSL, there's so much fruit that happens in them 4 weeks. You know why? Because all we doing is hearing the word and accepting it. Hearing the word and accepting it. We praying it, we speaking it. We praying it, we speaking it. That's all we do for 4 weeks. And we don't even watch TV no more. I remember the first time we did OSL. Not the first time. One of the times, because we did it a lot. One time we did OSL, we were asked to go to another church to lead OSL at another church. And we had 60 people in that church taking OSL. And one of the people there, it was when the Giants were in the World Series. I was like, wow. And a part of OSL is that you're supposed to limit some of your outside activity so you can hear from God. And this woman said, I'm going to give away my World Series Giants tickets because I want to hear from God. I was like, God, that's some real commitment. Because personally, Jesus, I'd be like, go Giants, go, even though I'm a Cards fan. It's the World Series. That woman was going through a difficult marriage that was about to fall apart. And at the end of that 4 weeks, God restored her marriage. In fact, they tore up their divorce papers. See, if you hear the word and accept it, you'll get the fruit. And that's why many of us love OSL so much, because we remember the fruit that came out of those 4 weeks, but we forgot it was a process to get the fruit. So some of us are like, OSL's been around for how many years at this church? 12 years? And we've probably taken it and offered it 25 to 30 times, and some of us have taken it 25 to 30 times, and we're like, I don't need it no more. But if you don't still have those disciplines, yeah, you do. You don't have to pay $10, so come on back. So the first thing you got to do is you got to pray God's word back. The second thing you got to do is you got to change the way you talk. If you're going to accept the word that God gives you, you better change your mouth. Because we say things that God is not saying. Let me explain to you why this is important. The Bible says in the book of Amos, God won't do anything in the earth unless he speaks it first to his prophets. Most of y'all are like, I ain't no prophet. The reason why God gets you by yourself to speak a word to you is because he's getting ready to do something in the earth. Watch this. You are a prophet when you open your mouth and say what God says. Anytime you say what God says, you're a prophet. So you ain't got to have no title, you ain't got to have no robe, you ain't got to have no priesthood thing, all that's a bunch of, you know what. All that matters is I'm saying what God says. So if God gave you a word, the reason why he said he spoke it to a prophet is because he means it for you to say what he said. Because God can't move in the earth because the earth is under Satan's control because we fell in sin. But the way we get Satan off our backs and get control is by speaking God's word. Because the Bible says the angels are waiting to hear God's word, and they do the work of the Lord. They have strength to do God's work. So you think by speaking your word, the word of God, that all you're doing is saying a couple, two, three words. No, what you're doing is you're releasing angels from heaven and all of their strength and all their power to bring to pass the word that God has put into your mouth. So you cannot be quiet about what God is saying, and you cannot change what God is saying, because it doesn't move angels, but it will move a different type of angel. You know that the demons were angels that have fallen. So they move at words too, except they move at any word that is negative to God's word. So our problem is when we don't speak God's word, what we're doing is we're releasing demonic forces. And when we do speak God's word, we're releasing angelic forces. And the problem is, in the book of Daniel, Daniel had prayed a prayer, and the angels, the Bible said, got released at the moment you prayed that prayer. But the angels were caught up wrestling with the demonic forces in the air, and it took 3 weeks to bring the word to pass. What are you saying? I'm saying part of the reason why you're not getting a harvest is because you keep releasing demonic forces, and then occasionally you'll release an angelic force from God, and you're wondering why it's taking so long, but they over there fighting over the words you done left out of your mouth. So you got to stop saying what you feel. I don't feel like doing this. I don't believe God's going to work. Guess what? He ain't. I'm so tired, Pastor. Yeah, you're going to keep on being tired too. It's okay for you to say that if you end the sentence differently. If you say I'm tired and end with a period, we in trouble. If you say I'm tired, but God's still able. I'm wiped out, but God is still moving. I don't feel like I can keep going, but God is my strength and my salvation, my very present help. See, David, he didn't mind telling and talking about what was going on. He said, these people getting on my last nerve, kill them all. I can't take them, knock them dead. You ought to knock every one of them. Matter of fact, may they all be, they children be orphans. May they wives be widows. He was like, just kill them all dead, Jesus. But my strength is in the Lord. Yet will I trust the Lord. I'm wiped out, I'm tired. Yet I will put my trust in an almighty God. David understood that it was okay to talk about how I feel, as long as I reminded myself that it don't matter how I feel, it's all about what God says. John chapter 12, verse 49 says, for I did not speak of my own accord. This is Jesus. But the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I have not spoken what I want to say, Jesus said. But I only say what God tells me. Have you ever noticed how much fruit Jesus bore in 3 years? How many people got healed, delivered, set free in 3 years? Could it be because Jesus only said what God said? Every morning, the Bible said he would get up early in the morning to go be with God, and he would come out, and he would just speak what God said. And miracles were happening everywhere. Maybe our healing isn't happening because we ain't speaking what God said. We should only speak what God thinks of us and the plans he has for us. Stop telling yourself, I'm not good enough. Shut up. If you want to say that, go on and say that, but say but at the end. Yeah, I'm not good enough, but. He uses the strange and foolish and stupid and wicked and crazy things of this world to confound the wise. So I'm just the right kind of thing he's looking for. I'm not very smart in math. You know what? But I got a God who has created. God created math. He know multiplication and trigonometry and calculus and AP this and AP that way better than anybody else I know. I don't know how to do this job. Well, God, shut up. God created the people that made the job that you own. God has infinite wisdom available to you. You got everything you need. So stop talking like you don't. You know what? One thing that bothers me is, you know, sometimes you'll go see wealthy kids, and they all want to dress like they po. You ever seen that? Because that's like a style. Like they want to wear their saggy bags with their holes. I'm like, why y'all got all these holes in y'all jeans? Ain't your mama got money? It's like these $200 jeans. That's the worst part. $200 jeans with holes in them. What the heck is the point of that? Heck, I can do that for $15. I can do it for $5. I can do it for $1. Watch this. Because we want to look impoverished instead of walking in the wealth and the blessings that God's given us. We will prefer, ain't nothing worse than having somebody who has access to everything walking around like they ain't got nothing. Because the people who ain't got nothing looking at them going, just go ask your daddy for it. Just go ask your dad for it. Why do we as Christians walk around like we don't have nothing and access to anything? So here's the third thing you got to do. So you got to pray the word. You got to speak the word. And the third thing you got to do is prepare for the word. It's not enough to just have it in your prayer closet and speak it. What are you doing to get ready for the word that God's promised you? If I'm going to have a baby, during those 9 months before the baby comes, I got to go start doing some stuff. Because the baby going to need a car seat to come home, because now it's against the law for you to bring the baby home if ain't got no car seat. So I got to go buy a car seat. How you going to go buy a car seat and you ain't got no child? Because one's coming. Yeah, okay. Baby going to need some clothes. So I'm going to get some clothes. Why you got to get some clothes? Because the baby's coming. You're going to need some diapers, like lots of them. Why? Because the baby going to poop when the baby comes. Because the baby's coming. Okay. What are you doing to prepare because the word is coming in your life? Those of you who are single and you believe in God for a spouse, what you doing to prepare? You know, some of y'all are like, I ain't doing nothing. No, you need to clean your house like you already got a spouse. Would you want your spouse walking in a nasty house? Nope. No, they gonna help me clean it. No, they ain't gonna help you clean nothing. You ain't already cleaning. They better have good credit. No, you better have good credit. I want them messing. I want somebody holy. Then you better be holy. Come on, let me, all you single people, let me help you. You attract who you are. Boom, boom, boom. If you believe God's going to give you a business, what you doing to prepare? If you believe God's going to send you on a missions trip, are you learning a new language? If you believe God's going to do something miraculous in your life, you got to start doing something. And some of us think, well, it's such a big thing God's speaking, and I don't even know where to start. You know what? God said, I ain't asking you to start at the big. Just do the small things. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. Just do the little things. Do the little stuff. Take the class. Go fix your hair. Put some clothes on. Go outside looking cute. Do something to get yourself ready for what God's about to do. But don't sit there and act like, look, I tell my kids all the time, when my kids were in sixth grade, when my oldest was in sixth grade, and I'm going to tell this because he ain't here, but when my oldest was in sixth grade, the Lord had spoke to me actually when my child was in the womb that my child was going to do something sports related, and I knew it, and I still don't know what it is. I still don't have all the details, but I knew that God was going to call him to do something sports related. So I figured he's probably going to have to play sports in college. So in sixth grade, I said, we're going to load your life down so you can learn how to balance now. And people look at me crazy because the boys' grades were dropping, and people were saying, just get him out of sports. Take him out of sports. Punish. Don't let him. Sports is a privilege. No, for his life, because God told me he's going to do something in sports. Sports is not a privilege. It is the call. So he got to learn how to balance. Now, it's not to say that school ain't important, because you can't be doing stuff in sports and be an idiot. You got to have some kind of sense about you. So I said, I one time I took sports away, and the Lord said, you're wrong. And I left sports in, and I said, you're going to have to learn how to balance this, because this is a call God has on your life. And we fought. And I've been talking for years since they were in sixth grade about using your weekends effectively. You can't do like everybody else do. Why? Because you got a call. You can't be like everybody else. Why? Because you got a call. There are going to be some Fridays you can hang out and some Saturdays you can hang out. But you can't do that every Friday and Saturday night. You can't sit up and play video games. Why? Because you got a call. Because when you get to college, here's what's going to happen over your life. You ain't got them Fridays and Saturdays no more. And guess what? When you get married and you have babies, them Fridays and Saturdays are gone. Watch this. I'm trying to prepare him for what God showed me. What are you doing to prepare yourself for what God has shown you? If God's told you you're going to run your own business, let me tell you something. turn the TV off. Because when you are a business owner, you don't work from 9 to 5, ever. You work from all day, 2 o'clock in the morning, 1, 3, it don't matter. Why? Because when God gives you a word and gives you an idea, you got to be moving on it. You got clients, you got to move quick. You can't wait for what God's doing. You got to start walking in this stuff. Here's the thing. If your level of harvest is directly determined by your level of preparation. And I'm going to prove this to you in scripture. You ready? 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 5 through 6. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 5 through 6. Is this helpful? This is I have like 20,000 life verses, so this is one of them. Okay. This verse speaks directly to me because this is a story about a widow. And her husband passed, and she was left with 2 sons. And she was in great debt. And I was struggling financially when the Lord first brought this word to me. And she went to the man of God, and she said, look, I don't know what I'm about to do, but my husband was a servant of the Lord, and I got these 2 boys, and we ain't got nothing, and we about to die. And the servant of the Lord told her, he said, go get a whole bunch of vessels. He said, what you got? She said, all I got is this little bit of oil. He said, go get a whole bunch of vessels, go home, pour the oil, and then go sell it. She was like, he told her, go borrow from your neighbors. Okay, watch this. She had a little bit of oil. He told her to go get pots and borrow them from other people. Go in the house, close the door, pour the oil in the pot, and sell it. Now, if you got this much oil, how many pots you going to get? Okay? Now, watch this. 2 Kings 4, 5. So she went away from him after she got all the pots, shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she, like, notice, vessels, and she poured the oil out. Now, I want you to watch this. Verse 6. Now, it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Okay. Which, watch this, implies that the oil stopped flowing when the vessels and the pots were done. So if she had gotten more pots, more oil would have been flowing. So her harvest was directly in line and proportion to the preparation that she took to go get pots. If she would have prepared for more pots, she would have got more oil. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying. What I'm telling you is your harvest is directly proportional to how you prepare for it. The more you prepare for it, the more God can do. The more you get vessels, the more you go and do the work that God's telling you to do. The more you do the little things to line yourself up to get ready for what God is saying, the more God can begin to work in your life. The more the oil will keep flowing. If you don't prepare, the oil's going to stop flowing, and that's when the miracle will stop. But that's not when God wanted to stop the miracle. If she would have got every, y'all missing this. If she would have went and got every pot from every woman in the neighborhood that she could find, that oil would have kept running. How much are you limiting what God can do because you ain't preparing for it? Oh, I don't have time to take that class. Then you don't have time for the harvest. Oh, I don't have time to start working on a budget and getting my money together. Then you don't have time for God to start blessing you financially. I don't have time to start, you know, me and my kids, we got so much going on. I don't have time, Pastor, to go to OSL. Then you don't have time for the harvest. See, whatever you prepare for is what you're going to get. God can't work when you ain't prepared. I'm about to prove this to you in scripture. I'm getting ready to get out of here. Let me tell you why we don't prepare first, and then I'll prove it to you. We don't prepare because we don't believe the word. I can tell if you believe what God has said by what you're doing. There's a story in Luke chapter 1 where Zechariah had been waiting on a child to come, and he did everything we said. He went to the prayer closet. He went to the sanctuary. Angel showed up. He spoke, "You about to have a kid." He wouldn't speak the word back. He wouldn't believe God. So they shut his mouth up. And that's when he believed. But here's the funny part. They might have had his mouth shut, but he went back and he wrote on a piece of paper, "Girl, you about to have a baby." I don't know, you really do that, but, you know. He did what was necessary and they had a baby. Mary, she got a word and she believed. And the angel said, you know, "Blessed is she who believed." And the baby was coming. Watch this, I'm about to close. Noah believed God, so he started building an ark. It ain't never been rained before. How you gonna prepare for something you ain't never seen, never heard of? Because, see, that's what God's gonna do. Some of y'all, God's preparing you for stuff you ain't never had nobody see. You ain't never seen nobody do that in your family. You never seen nobody around you do that. You don't know where it came from. You don't know how to do it. But he's like, "You got me. I'm gonna tell you what to do step by step. So stop acting like you ain't got no help. And go do what I'm telling you to do." Hannah, who was without the child, she was crying in the temple before the Lord, got a word that God told her she was going to have a baby, got up, fixed her face, put her makeup on, went home, and her husband was like, "Girl, you look a whole lot better." She said, "Mm-hmm, come on." And then they had a baby. See, we don't prepare because we don't believe. Another reason why people don't prepare is because they don't want to do the small things, because they feel like the task is so big. But God wants to know, are you faithful in little so he can trust you with much? Zechariah 4:10 says, "For who has despised the day of small beginnings?" Don't ever despise small starts. Third reason, people get crippled with indecision. They don't want to make the wrong decision, so they make no decision. But no decision is always the wrong decision, because you have to make a decision in order to go with what God's getting ready to do in your life. So stop being indecisive. Here's another reason, fear of failure. For some of us, we believe that failure is the worst possible outcome. I got news for you. You think failure is the worst thing that can happen, so you don't want to set yourself up to fail. So we think that if we step out and what we do doesn't work, then we won't be able to handle it. But I want you to think about the parable of the talents. There was a parable where God gave them 1, 5, 1, 2, 1, 1. The 5 went, put those talents to use, came back with 5. The 2 used those talents, came back with 2. The 1 got scared, had fear of failure, hid it. And God said, "You wicked and lazy servant. I'd rather that you at least go try something with that and come back and give me a little bit than to do nothing with it." See, you wicked and lazy if you don't do nothing with what God's given you. Y'all don't want me to say it like that, but it's true. Setting ourselves to live a life where we do not fail is, in fact, failure in itself. Because the only way we can truly fail as sons and daughters of God is to refuse to use what God has given us. When we take risks to use what he's given us or to do what he's asked us to do, we are successful even if we don't get the results we expect. I want you to go after the thing God's spoken to you, even if it's scary. Don't let the fear of failure paralyze you from acting on what God says, because I want you to know you are not as fragile as you think you are. Oh, that's a word for somebody, because I'm closing right here. You are not as fragile as you think you are. You can handle it. I had a friend, I was getting ready to step out on faith to do something, and I said, "I don't know, I'm not, whew, what if this don't work? What if it," and my friend said, "Are you serious? Everything you've been through, and you scared now? Like you didn't come through some bad stuff before." I was like, wait, hold up. You're right. I done been through some stuff. I can handle whatever's about to come up. Stop letting fear of failure get you. So what do you have to do to accept the word? You have to pray it. You have to speak it. And you got to prepare for it. I thought this was too important last week to skim over it. I wanted to go in detail this week because this is the crux of how you get rooted and start bearing fruit that will last. Mark 4:20, I'm going to show this to you one more time. I want you to see this. Mark 4:20. What makes good ground? You hear the word. You accept it by praying the word back. And I issued a challenge last week, and I'm going to say it again. If you have been journaling, go through your journal, highlight the promises God has given you, and start praying those promises back to God. Open your mouth and pray what God has said. I did that this week. And I got through six, I did a month's worth of journals each day. And I prayed through 1 month of what God said just from January. And it was like God just started opening up, parting Red Seas all over again. Just stuff started happening. Not just in the world around me, but in me. My faith got built. I started believing God. God started releasing new ideas again. I started seeing stuff like never before. And I was like, and I had forgot how many words that God had given me about certain things. And there were words that I had just forgot he said, period. And I'm talking about just from this year. I got 25 years of journals. I don't know if he want me to go through all 25. Ooh, Jesus. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But for right now, just this 1 year, do you not know in 2 weeks you could get through your whole journal praying it for the year? Just 2 weeks. 1 month, highlight, and then it takes you about 5 minutes to pray those prayers back. And you'll see stuff changing. That's my challenge to you. So hear the word, accept it by praying the word, speaking the word, and preparing for the word. And the last part of that is, and you will just simply start to bear fruit. Ain't no other work required. Your work is in the accepting. God's work is in the bearing fruit. Come on, stand to your feet. I'm done. And I want to say to those of you, I'm going to finish with two things. Galatians 6:9 says this, let us not grow weary while doing good. Some of you that's been doing this, don't get weary. The Bible says, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. We shall reap if we don't lose heart. And the last thing I'm going to leave you with is this quote that says, the difference between the man and woman of God who made an impact on history and those who didn't is that those who made an impact were not afraid to fail for God. Don't be afraid to step out and do what God's telling you to do. Now, some of you, I believe that God's calling you to serve and do some amazing things for God, but you don't even know where to serve at. You don't know what to do. Come on up, prayer team. I want you to just come see them, and they'll pray with you, and God will begin to show you. Maybe you don't know where your first step is. They'll pray with you. Maybe you're struggling, trying to figure things out. That's what we're here for. I don't think there's a call today for anybody to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Most of us in this room, if not all, have already done that. If you feel like you need that, then that's what this team is here for. I think the call today is to accept it, to accept what God's already given you, to believe it, to hear it, to pray it back, to speak it, to prepare for it. If you're here and you're like, yep, this message hit me, just lift your hands. I want to pray for you. You don't even have to say how. I just want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm standing with my hand up too. Lord, God, for every person with their hand raised, Father, we want to bear fruit for you. We want to bear fruit that will last. We want to bear much fruit. We want to see the 30, 60, 100-fold harvest in our lives on the promises that you have made. And Lord, thank you for this simple step-by-step process to hear your word, to accept it, and to Lord, bear fruit. I pray that you will help us, oh God, to pray your word. I pray that you will help us to capture your word. I pray that you'll help us to speak only the word that you have given us. And then help us, God, show us what we must do to prepare step-by-step for the things that you've had over us. I declare that word in Mark 4:20 is a promise, that we are good soil because we hear the word, we accept it, and we do bear fruit. And I declare that we're not just going to bear a little bit of fruit, but I'm speaking a hundredfold return on every promise that's been given in this house. I declare, Father God, prosperity. I declare healing. I declare freedom. I declare, Father God, scholarships and opportunities. I declare jobs and businesses. I declare, Father God, marriages and families and children will come forth. I declare, Father God, that everything you have promised us shall absolutely, positively come to pass. I declare that doors that the enemy tried to shut are being blown open in the name of Jesus. I speak right now to every mountain and I say, be thou removed in the name of Jesus. I speak to every circumstance. I speak to every fear. I speak to indecision. I speak, Father God, to fear of failure. And I say, be removed in the name of Jesus. And I release upon us a faith to believe that God is going to do everything that he said he's going to do. Lord, I declare that your word shall not come back to you void. Every word spoken to every person in this church shall not come back void in the name of Jesus, but it shall accomplish everything that you have set it to do. I declare, Father God, souls will be saved. I declare lives will be transformed. I declare, Lord, our families will come back together. I declare in the name of Jesus that every single promise of yours shall absolutely come to pass. Why? Because they are all yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Come on, everybody, begin to give the Lord a hand praise. May the Lord bless. Yeah, come on, let's just praise him by faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Spirit of the living God rest all over you, rule inside of you, abide with you. May you be faith walkers, faith talkers, giant slayers this week. May you go out and kick down some mountains. May you go out and slay some dragons. Come on. I declare that you are going out and that a move of God is already here and already happening inside of you. When people ask how you're doing, may your response be,